Happy Friday, June the 11th in Nashville, Tennessee, and it is a super regional weekend for Vanderbilt and for the University of Tennessee. For the first time in 16 years, Tennessee is in a super regional with a chance to make it to Omaha, and today that's what we're focusing on. The voice of Tennessee baseball, John Wilkerson, is my guest on today's podcast, talking about this team, the edge that Tony Vitello brings to the table, and going behind the scenes in what has been an incredible season as a broadcaster to call so many walk-off home runs and big dramatic moments. John Wilkerson is my guest. Fun episode today on the Zone Daily Podcast.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Voling.
So joining us on today's episode of the Zone Daily Podcast, the voice of Tennessee baseball on the Vol Network, John Wilkerson is our guest. Looking forward to a really fun weekend in Knoxville between Tennessee and LSU in the Super Regional. John, thank you so much for taking the time. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Will. Always great to catch up with a member of the nicest sports-related family in the Bowlings. Your dad, your brother, it's just amazing. But I very much appreciate the invitation and so excited for what's going to take place in Knoxville this weekend because we've never seen it before. Volunteers have been in two Super Regionals. This is the first time they've hosted one at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. There's a lot on the line as well as a lot of chippiness between both the Tigers and the Big Orange.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into some of the pitching matchups for Tennessee, some of these guys that have stepped up over the course of this season. But, John, I want to start with that first series. Talking with some people yesterday, the thing we keep coming back to is LSU has a lot of freshmen. At Tennessee, and Blade Tidwell has a freshman pitcher who's really grown up over the course of this season. At this point in the year, the freshmen aren't really freshmen anymore. How different to you are these two teams from when they met in Tennessee's opening series in Lindsey Nelson Stadium in the SEC to this point heading into the Super Regional?
Well, I think that Tennessee has gone on to build on what they started. For the Volunteers to win their first four SEC series, which they hadn't done since 1970, it was really something to watch this team grow as well as develop their expectations and build their confidence. They lost the series in week five against Vanderbilt. They lost the series in week nine against Arkansas, but they won everything else. They never lost a series outright in terms of Friday and Saturday or games one and two. They lost the finale to both the Commodores and the Razorbacks. So for Tennessee to be in the position that it was, it trailed in game one against LSU, came back to win 3-1 in what was a pitcher's duel. Then they win a bit of a shootout. They get a two-out double from Drew Gilbert and a completion of a suspended game on Sunday to tie the game in the ninth. They win it in the 11th on a walk-off home run by Drew Gilbert. And then they got a walk-off in the eighth inning. It was supposed to be seven when Luke Lipsius singled in the go-ahead run. So Tennessee finished off only its second sweep ever against LSU, and the Volunteers were off and running. LSU, to its credit, fought through. I mean, it wasn't just the sweep at Tennessee. They also got hammered at home by Vanderbilt that very next weekend, and it looked like they might just be lost for this year. But to their credit, they fought hard in the second half. They got their foot in the door for the NCAA tournament. Staved off elimination four straight games in Eugene to advance to the Super Regional in Knoxville. So I think you're exactly right. I think you have a very confident team in Tennessee, Blade Tidwell pitching the best, I think, right now of any Tennessee starter. And you have those freshmen that have just done nothing but develop. Morgan at first, Cruz in right field, to me, are the most impressive of the young Tigers. But they are a team that has absolutely nothing to lose as they try and give their coach a ride off into the sunset unlike any other.
Yeah, absolutely. And really looking back at that series as well, John, Tennessee's identity this season has been timely hitting and the dramatic moments late in games. And I want to ask you in a minute about what it's like to call those, just broadcaster to broadcaster, what that's been like. But that was kind of the beginning, right, of this team having so many clutch at-bats and Drew Gilbert kind of being one of those guys. I know Georgia Southern as well, there was a series there where Tennessee had some late heroics from a lot of guys in its lineup. But how crazy has that been to just see how many times Tennessee has had its backs against the wall and has still found a way to win a ballgame?
it really has been a trademark of this team that it can be anybody that steps up. And it's not just necessarily in the lineup, although those are the ones that grab the headlines. But you've also seen pitchers come through with outstanding efforts when they needed them to, and some big plays defensively. You go back to that Georgia Southern series, and you win each of the first two games 5-3. But the first game, you set the tone, and they were trying to catch you. The second game, you had to rally to win, and it was Drew Gilbert who had the late heroics. And then Liam Spence with a grand slam in the 12th inning, in the top half of that inning, that allows you to get the sweep. And then Tennessee, after giving up the lead in the bottom of the ninth in walk-off fashion to Georgia in that opening SEC weekend, they come right back. Blade Tidwell made his conference debut, was simply outstanding. They shut down Georgia, and they celebrated the win, but they didn't celebrate like it was something they didn't expect. They enjoyed the fact that they won on the road. In fact, they won every SEC road series this season. First time they had done that 5 times in a year. And so I just think that you've had this expectation by Tennessee that someone's going to get the job done. There have been so many different performers. When you look at just the walk-off home runs, and they've had seven walk-off wins this year.
Wow.
But and that's only one other team has more. I don't know who it is, but it's not Tennessee, but they have seven. And you've gotten a walk-off home run by Jordan Beck against ETSU. You've gotten the walk-off home run. Let's see. Drew Gilbert did it twice. And then you also have Max Ferguson and his home run. So I just really think that it comes down to just guys rising to the occasion. And it has been truly magical to watch this team just simply find a way to make something big happen when it needs it the most.
Well, John, from a broadcast perspective, you feel lucky as a broadcaster if you get more than one walk-off home run to call in one season. You've had so many opportunities to nail these calls, and you have, by the way, every single time. It's so impressive and so cool to hear these moments listening to you guys on the Vol Network. But I got to ask about this Wright State game. You know, take me through what's going through your head as Drew Gilbert steps to the plate. You know, all of us are thinking that have watched Tennessee this season, okay, well, this is what they've done all season. This team is never out of it until the 27th out is recorded. But take me through what you're thinking as that ball flies in the air and you get another home run call, and this time it's a walk-off grand slam.
Well, I couldn't help but think that it was going to be similar to what Tennessee faced at the SEC tournament, because they lost that painful extra inning game to Alabama, and they immediately go into the loser's bracket where it's the number 2 seed against the 3 seed Mississippi State. And I'm thinking, well, if they don't rally here, they're going to wind up having to take on Duke, the 2 seed, and they're going to have to play at noon tomorrow, meaning Saturday. But then you get Connor Pavloni, who opens with a single, Liam Spence, who just really got robbed the whole night long, mm-hmm. Sinking line drive to right field, but it's a great diving catch by Sayre and Wright for Wright State. And then Max Ferguson goes opposite field left center. You got runners on the corners. Jake Rucker works a walk, and you're thinking, hey, as long as you just get the tying run on, you've got a chance. And so they load the bases, and you can't help but think, sure, bottom of the ninth, down 3, this is actually going to happen. And then lo and behold, he crushes that ball, Gilbert does, and it just takes off to right. And in that moment, the one thing that I love about baseball, and I always try to operate this way when it comes to calling games, give yourself just a moment, because when it's radio, you have the luxury of most everybody listening to you is not on site. So you can take that beat and you can just wait for it to clear the fence, or you can wait to see. I mean, all you have to do is just high fly ball heading back towards the fence. And, you know, Sayre goes back, looks up, and then you wait for the umpire to signal. And that's when you get the opportunity to just really cut loose. And it comes down to nuts and bolts at that point in time, because you get to enjoy their celebration, and boy, did Tennessee celebrate. But just that's where you can say it's this home run, it's his second grand slam, and you enjoy and carry as much of the moment. That's when I start looking for what you can see that those that aren't there want to see. And that's why, now it took Drew a good bit to round those bases. So it gave me a little bit longer call than say Max's trot around the bases against Arkansas. But it really was such a magical moment, because everybody dreams of the bottom of the ninth, down 3 in a grand slam, and to actually see it happen, that is just being right there front and center for somebody's lifelong dream coming true.
It was incredible. And being in the stadium that day, just as a fan, it's one of the coolest moments I've had watching a Tennessee game in person. Really, really cool. And again, the call was terrific. So great job by you all in kind of capturing that moment and the euphoria that was in Lindsey Nelson Stadium that day. John, I want to ask you about Will Heflin, a pitcher who comes in as a reliever. He's an outfielder to begin his Tennessee career. But Jackson Leith goes down early on in the season and an opportunity comes up. And Will Heflin is kind of the veteran, was first in line to say, all right, you're going to have the shot at this first. And it was actually a series I called on SEC Network Plus when he got the ball against Georgia State right after that Indiana State injury that he suffered. Will Heflin's been terrific. I mean, he throws strikes. He's got a calm veteran presence on the mound. What I'm curious of now, John, in a super regional setting, if you need someone to come out of the bullpen with a lead in game two, say you start Blade Tidwell in game two and you need somebody to kind of shut this thing down maybe early on in the third, fourth, fifth inning, I think Will Heflin is uniquely available to kind of fulfill a need for Tennessee and be a postseason style pitcher. It makes me excited about this Tennessee pitching staff, knowing the different guys with the different experience they have possibly coming out of this bullpen.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And that's the way that Tony Vitello looks at it, because he doesn't get into what it looks like for all three games or how this weekend might stack up. And if we do this, and I mean, he's not one that gets beyond of controlling what you can control. And so he looks at game one as game one, and he'll say going into a weekend series or I'm sure a super regional, do what you have to do to get the first one. And then it's do what you have to do to get the next one.
Right.
And so if that is looks to be the best option, he's not afraid to do that. And you have Chad Dallas, who will likely get the ball in game one. Sean Hundley has been kind of a tandem with him, that they start a weekend for Tennessee as a tandem out of the starter and out of the bullpen, a reliever. And then Will Heflin has been that guy, but Blade Tidwell moved into it in the postseason. So if indeed they look at wanting a left-handed pitcher out of the bullpen, I don't think he would shy away from 1 minute of going to Heflin. Now, you do have some other options, because you've got Redmond Walsh, who's been in the bullpen as long as he has, and you also have Kirby Connell. But again, if that's what Frank Anderson and Tony Vitello see as their best option, they'll do it. And Will Heflin has been that kind of guy. Tennessee didn't lose many series opening games, but when they did, Heflin gave them exactly what they needed to be in position to win the next one. That's why, again, one of the more impressive stats to me is that Tennessee never lost the first two games of a series.
Crazy.
And they only lost back-to-back games once, and that was the doubleheader against Indiana State in week two. And so that was the only series in which they lost back-to-back games. So I just think that he's got that mindset that allows you to go out there and compete. And he sets a tone because he's had so much time with the program, and the defense and his teammates love to play alongside him, because this is what he would like to be doing more than anything, and that's helping Tennessee win.
All right, John, last thing for you. This has been terrific, a really good insight into this team and kind of taking us in the booth a little bit for some of these home run calls. Tony Vitello, I think, has always done a really good job of – you can tell he has a lot of fun. You can tell his team has a lot of fun. When you're winning as much as Tennessee has, obviously you're having a lot more fun, right? Because winning is fun for everybody, but – Tennessee has always kind of had this edge about them, an edge they play with, and they've taken on the personality of their head coach. How much fun has it been for you to kind of watch this Tony Vitello program grow? And tell you what, we could tell you're having a lot of fun calling these games as well on the Vol Network. How much of a blast has this been as you head into a super regional inside your home ballpark?
It's the most unique season that I've been proud to be a part of, and to have been on hand for Todd Helton and the gang back in the early 90s when they just opened the gates at Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the first time. I mean, you had great teams. You had guys that you knew were going to go on and have long careers, like Todd Helton, like R.A. Dickey. And then you go with another superstar that comes to the forefront, Chris Burke in 2001. You have Luke Hochaver, Chase Headley, and the guys in 2005. But I think what makes this team so special is they don't have that Garrett Crochet guy right now that's going to go immediately from this team into professional baseball and the major leagues. They have some guys that I think will get there eventually. Blade Tidwell, I think, is going to be an outstanding draft pick, but this isn't his year in that regard. So I do think that this is a team that continues to be the sum greater than its parts. And I think you describe it perfectly. This team feeds off the their head coach and how he approaches the game, because they like to call him fearless. They call him V, and they say V is fearless. And so they follow his lead. You also have guys, Evan Russell, Sean Hundley, and then you have the guys that were even there before Tony Vitello with Heflin, with Pete Durkee, Luke Lipsius, and Redmond Walsh. They were a part of a team that won just 7 SEC games their first year on the roster. And now they've won 20 SEC games in a season and won the first Eastern Division crown for the first time for Tennessee since 1997. So, you know, they're having a blast, but at the same time, they manage it so well. Again, when they won at Georgia, they celebrated, but they expected to win at Georgia. And they did so again at Alabama. They did so again at College Station against Texas A&M, Columbia, Missouri, Columbia, South Carolina, which they hadn't done since 2006.
Yeah.
But all of this was along the way. I mean, it's just their expectation that they'll find a way. And they remember what people said to them when they weren't showing them respect, when Tennessee was struggling to climb the ladder. And that's what I think gives them that edge. Their head coach has given them their faith and their belief in themselves. And also that personality has allowed them to say, you know what? We're just proud to play the role of the villain. Let us just give us that chance.
Well, this has been great stuff, John. We really appreciate the time. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Tennessee and LSU this weekend in the Knoxville Super Regional. John, best of luck this weekend. Let's do this again soon.
Absolutely, Will. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate it.
So there you go. Tennessee and LSU get started tomorrow night. Of course, Vanderbilt and East Carolina get started today. Going to be a really fun weekend following those two series. And, of course, on Monday morning, starting at 5 a.m., we'll have the full reaction to what Tennessee did and what Vanderbilt did, and which of them, or what I think is going to happen, both of them, how they got to Omaha. So that's going to do it for today's show. This week's shows, it's been fun with Julio Jones, with Tennessee Baseball Preview. You can find all of it wherever you listen to podcasts on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. We'll talk to you next week on The Zone Daily. We'll be right back.